Good day, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Psalm Sessions, a special episode. This is a Psalm Bite. We are on location here today, the Joseph Brandt Museum in beautiful Burlington, Ontario. We are joined today by my favorite co-host, the spaghetti to my meatballs, the cream in my coffee, the nougat in my Zagnut bar.
I love your creativity. It's just good old Brent here.
Hey, Brent. How's it going, man?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day.
We are also joined today by Kathy Carr, the Traveling Exhibitions Coordinator from the Joseph Brandt Museum. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Miles.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
This is pretty cool. Kathy let us kind of jump into the exhibit and look around a little while at what's going on here at the Joe Brandt. And we're going to get to that. But first, I want to talk about one of my favorite things in the entire world, aside from video games, which is why what's happening at Joe Brandt makes me excited, and that's Halloween. Because here we come into the end of October, and Halloween is upon us. Are you a Halloween guy, Brent?
You are a huge Halloween
fan. It's true.
I know this. I've actually seen it in person in living color. It's a tad scary.
It's true, Kathy. Brent and I, we actually knew each other before we worked together at The Sound of Music, and we have had very critical, important business meetings where I was dressed as a pirate, so much so that I had a real sword that I had to lay down on the table because I couldn't sit.
I'll be honest, I was a little concerned the OPP were going to come knocking on the door.
Yeah, that is always a concern when walking around with a sword. It's true. But I love Halloween. Are you a Halloween person?
I'm a Halloween person. I mean, I'm not. Not to that extent. Not bringing a sword into work or anything, but
not bringing a sword into work. That's
usually the benchmark.
Yeah, that is. That's my cutoff point.
That's wise. Yeah. No, I love it, and I've trained my daughter to love it. Mm-hmm. Now you have a whole brood of children. Do they love Halloween?
I do indeed. My oldest daughter actually relishes the opportunity to do Halloween makeup for her friends.
Nice.
Super.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Do you have kids, Kathy?
I have one baby.
One baby.
Not quite one yet. So, well,
but that's perfect, though, because you can dress them up and they don't get a say in it.
Oh, he gets no say.
See?
This year he's a chicken.
I love this. So I'm curious, when it comes to Halloween, now, I personally think, and it's funny how, you know, when you think back on your childhood and you remember things and you wonder, like, was that really how it happened or not so much? I remember Halloween being this bustling, crazy hub of activity where the streets are lined with little ghouls and goblins and everyone's out doing their thing, and it was huge. Whereas now I go out with my daughter and it's like seven kids, and half of them are like 25 years old and probably shouldn't be out there trick-or-treating. But I don't know, what is it like for you?
Yeah, it's really true. I think it's changed quite a bit. We were actually just talking the other day, my wife and I, about the good old days, as we like to refer to them. And we can remember going out, literally coming back with pillowcases full of candy, dumping them, and then taking the pillowcase and going back out again.
Yeah.
And now I can, you know, more than two hands, but not more than a couple of dozen kids will come by our house, you know, in about a two-hour span. It's just really, really changed.
Yeah,
that's disappointing because
I
was so excited to bring my son out. I mean, maybe not this year, but next year. Thinking that, I'd bring a pillowcase for him, and he would just get, like, a haul that I could have pretty much all of.
Yeah, and that used to be it. Like, I was all about the pillowcases, too, and that was the whole thing. Your parents would get you those little plastic jack-o'-lanterns. You'd be like, come on, Mom, Dad, that's not going to happen. Now, I'm curious about something here, and I have a theory. So I don't want to dwell on the bad parts of Halloween that are out there, but this whole idea of, like, you know, ooh, watch out, because razor blades in the apples and pills in the candy. And, like, have you ever actually experienced this in your lifetime? Or is this an old wives' tale?
One person, one time.
Really, eh?
Not that I know.
Not
but,
to
like,
you.
In, you know.
But this is it. Everybody has the one person. But I've yet to meet somebody that it's happened to directly.
No.
Now, I have a theory about this. I think, now that I am a parent and I understand it better, I think this is a whole scam made up by the parents, because I know the first thing I do, my daughter comes home, like we're out with her, but she comes in and she dumps out the candy, and the first thing, Mom and Dad need to check this and make sure all the candy's okay. So, you know, we'll rifle through everything, all the while, usually my wife and I are like sneaking the bits that we like.
No, that's absolutely it. It's the, we need to check it, quote unquote, is really about me siphoning off
the
quantity that I want to have.
Exactly. That's, I think that the whole like razor blades and apples is a long running scam set up by parents so that we can steal the candy from our kids that we want.
Yeah.
I think, the no question, the world is a different place, but I can recall there was a neighbor that was four or five houses down from us when I was growing up in public school, and this lady was a school teacher, and she would literally make, from scratch, candy apples.
Nice.
And she would make dozens and dozens of them, and kids from all over would just flock to be there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now it's just sort of, you know, you roll into Walmart, you pick up the box
yeah.
of 90 little mini chocolate bars, and it's kind of that throwaway thing. I think it's lost a little bit of the culture, if we can say that, you know,
yeah,
Halloween and trick-or-treating has a culture.
The Halloween magic. It is. I think that it used to be a lot bigger than it used to be. But I don't know if that... It's like when you look back on your childhood home and it's suddenly this tiny little thing, but in your memory, it was huge. Like
yeah.
it... You know, and I wonder if it's like that, if this is mostly in my head that I thought it was this gigantic event.
No, I think it was. It's kind of like when you go back to the school that you went to public school and you walk down the hallway and there's the row
yeah.
of lockers. And I can remember those lockers seemed like, you know, they were for football players.
Yeah,
and now
yeah.
I'm like, how did we ever even fit anything
yeah.
in those
yeah.
lockers? It's just scalable.
And there's a lot of older kids that I find go out trick-or-treating. Our pals down south in Virginia have solved this, and I think this is crazy. So a law has passed in Virginia that if you are over the age of 13 and you are out trick-or-treating, you can be fined up to $100 and face 7 days in jail.
So I'm pretty
so
sure...
as a 14-year-old, you could be facing
yeah.
jail time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So my 14-year-old daughter... could probably enforce that law right here at home because she sort of proudly proclaimed to us a couple of weeks ago that this was going to be her last year
really,
going trick-or-treating. She feels somehow that she's crossed this threshold. And my wife says, if you roll up to my door in a costume and you're enthusiastic and you're polite, I don't care if you're 34. I'm going to give you some chocolate.
Nice.
Yeah.
I will be going to Brent's house because
yeah.
I will be enthusiastically in a costume.
Well, we know you'll win the best costume prize.
So. I'll do my best. I had 1 year that, so I'm a big fan of The Nightmare Before Christmas and
oh, yeah.
Jack Skellington. And I had 1 year that I made a costume, including homemade stilts, which is just as dangerous as it sounds, of Jack Skellington. And I stood about 10 and a half feet tall mm-hmm. and I could barely see through this giant mask that I made. And I walked around in this thing around the neighborhood, and
oh.
it was, I love it. I love dressing up.
What did
up.
You make the stilts out of?
Oh, they were made out of 2x2 wood with some plywood. I actually traced my shoe to make like the platforms, and then I attached them with metal floor joist brackets. Because I figured if it can hold up a house, it can hold up me.
It'll hold you.
It'll hold me.
Yeah.
And then I use ratchet straps and I attach those suckers to my legs.
I think you should probably go to the dollar store because the dollar store is now the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Is
it? Because there's already this week an aisle in the dollar store that has Christmas things there.
Oh, no.
So it's kind of strange.
Now, is the Nightmare Before Christmas, is it a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie?
It's a Christmas movie.
I say it's a Halloween movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I say it's a Christmas
We're fighting now.
It's Catherine, good for all occasions.
Can we just go ahead and turn Catherine's
yeah.
mic off?
Yeah.
And
I'm the peacemaker.
You're the peace good
yeah.
for all
it's
occasions.
All
you say it's a little bit of both.
I do. I love Halloween, though. I get excited about it every year. I dress up. I think we're actually going out this weekend to a Halloween party. I will dress over the top. And it's funny because some of our friends are going like, well, let's go out for dinner first. And, oh, well, we can't like go out dressed up for dinner. Like, that's going to be weird. And I'm like, no, that's exactly what we're going to do. I have no issue with it
yeah,
at all.
It's far, far less than weird. I think it's probably encouraged.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
what
yeah.
are you going to dress up as this year?
I'm undecided. So I have to preface this next comment by saying I'm not actually a big Harry Potter fan. However, this past summer, my family and I went to Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. We saw The Wizarding World of Harry Potter, which is phenomenal.
It is, yeah.
And my 10-year-old daughter roped us all into buying like screen accurate Harry Potter robes. So I think we might end up being the Harry Potter family. I don't want to do that, but it might be what happens.
I think you kind of do. I remember...
You think I want to, or you think I have to?
I recall the lead up to your vacation, and you were lamenting having to go to Disney World and spend every penny that you had to your name.
Yeah.
And I recall that same person, that's you.
That is me.
Coming back after the vacation,
oh, here
you were
comes.
Lamenting, telling me that it was pretty much the most amazing thing you'd ever done.
It was. Like, the level of detail at that place is absolutely insane.
It is.
It's, like, have you been?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It is incredible. And we did the wands, and you wave the wand, and the stuff happens.
Yeah, the butterbeer.
The butterbeer is, like, the sweetest beverage I've ever had in my life. And it has, like, a whipped marshmallow topping. So it's pretty much like diabetes in a glass.
See, I thought it was like actually alcoholic.
I thought so.
I mean,
too,
I didn't think it would be at Universal Studios, but in my mind when I was reading the book, I thought.
Oh, you just thought that this was like a bunch of kids getting hammered at school.
Yeah, but they're in, you know.
They're in wizard school.
They're in wizarding school.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong with magic and a bunch of drunk children at school? I like that. I have no idea how to segue that into what we're actually here to talk about.
Well, I mean, there's a big Gene Simmons cardboard cutout in the hallway here, so it's kind of Halloween-like.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that. Fun fact about Gene Simmons and Kiss. Did you know that the makeup of Kiss was inspired by Rush?
I do know that.
I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, so once upon a time, before Rush was huge in North America, they were like massive in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get to the point where they would fly in there and like they would be mobbed at the airports. Whereas out here, we really didn't know who they were yet. So they really enjoyed the whole like kabuki lifestyle. So they actually did kabuki makeup when they performed in Japan. And in doing so, Gene Simmons actually saw this at one point and went, oh, that's really cool. And they came up with the makeup for Kiss. And in the documentary Beyond the Lighted Stage, Gene Simmons attributes that makeup to Rush.
Really?
Yeah, which
is,
I think,
pretty
cool.
Imagine putting that on.
Every single day.
Every single time. And, like, performing under those lights with this.
Oh, and the boots. Like,
and the boots.
Wasn't it Gene Simmons who had the massive platforms?
Yeah, the big platforms.
Because he's just a wee little man.
Just, like, teeth, fangs
on
the front. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Super cool.
So on that note, we are here at the Joseph Brandt Museum for part of the machine Rock and Pinball. Now, Brent and I had an opportunity to go in there and play some pinball where I learned I'm terrible at it. I'm a video game guy through and through, but pinball I've never been, I don't think, coordinated enough to do. But Kathy, now you brought this exhibit here. So
I didn't personally, but
well, no.
Physically,
you loaded the machines into your car, and so like, where did this idea even come from?
Like, so it was our curator's idea. She wanted. So this is the first kind of traveling exhibition that we're hosting at the new Joe Brandt Museum, and she really wanted it to be, you know, pop culture themed. She was thinking along the lines of music, and she wanted something really interactive and something that would just appeal to a really broad range of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, just through research, she found this exhibition that was on at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She contacted them, and
that's very cool. So now
history.
These. So how many pinball machines do you have out there?
13.
13 pinball machines. We saw a drum kit from Kiss.
Yes.
We saw an electric chair from Alice Cooper.
You did.
A dress of Dolly Parton's.
Yep.
Some Beatles Elvis memorabilia. Mm-hmm. What am I missing?
Yeah. So there's some stage gear from Judas Priest,
Metallica. And Metallica.
Yeah. Dizzy Reed's best.
That's cool. And now this is from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
This is from the Rock and Roll Hall.
That's very cool. So if you can't make it there, you can come here. How long is this exhibit running?
It's on until January 12th.
January 12th. So there is plenty of time.
Oh, yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I have to admit, full disclosure, it took... you almost had to drag me kicking and screaming out of the room to come to record this today. I'm a huge fan of everything kind of retro video game pinball. And I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 3 times. And, you know, it's like a kid in a candy store place to visit. And to have a piece of it here in Burlington, and as we look out the window, literally across the road from where the festival is staged every year, I think it's a pretty exciting opportunity for people in Burlington and around the region to come and experience this. And I love that you're thinking out of the box and in a less traditional way, and doing something that really can appeal to a different audience and get some more people in the door here. It's great.
Yeah, and it's fully interactive. I mean, you can come in, you can play. There's no additional fees to play the machines.
No quarters needed.
No, I mean, I just pushed a button on the Guns N' Roses machine, which has like a little trigger to shoot the ball, release the ball up. And I think my score was like 401 million or something.
Like I tried out the Aerosmith machine and I had a score of 40 million. And I'm like, I crushed it. And then I saw the high score was like 982 million. And I went, oh, I didn't come anywhere close.
Yeah, so clearly I'm far more talented.
You are. It's true. We've always known that, though.
It's true.
Now, what I love about this exhibit is, and you kind of touched on it, Brent, with that retro feel, is, you know, what's old is new again. And we're experiencing this throughout pop culture everywhere, and you see it a lot. So I'm a big gaming nerd, and, you know, I've got a Legend of Zelda tattoo on my arm. Like, this is my world. And you see that Nintendo has released the original Nintendo system again, and Sega Genesis has come out with the original Sega again, and you can buy an Atari now. Like, all this retro gaming is huge. There's places, I think there's one up in London, there's one in Toronto, where you go in and you pay a flat fee and you can just go play these old coin-op cabinets all day long without the need for quarters. And so I think that you've done a brilliant job of tapping into that retro world again and kind of bringing it right here to Burlington, which is really cool.
Yeah, we're really excited. I mean, I really love the exhibition. It's so fun to come in every morning and just play these machines. And also just the physicality of it, you know, like it's... You're not just kind of on your phone or on the computer. You're doing something with your hands and
I don't like. Are they making new pinball machines?
They are still making. They're still manufacturing the Alice Cooper that his Nightmare Castle.
Yeah,
that one was just produced in 2018.
No way.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
That's cool. So we need a Van Halen pinball machine.
In the office.
Yeah,
in the office.
And everyone is learning, I think, as we record each episode. Full disclosure, I am the world's biggest Van Halen fan, and I find a way to drop the name of that band at least twice into every episode that we have.
It's true.
So I just did it right there.
Sammy Hagar currently has an active restraining order against Brent.
Yeah, people used to joke, I wonder if he's got pictures of you on his wall at his house.
He probably does.
So
that his staff know to never let you in. Sounds about right to me. Anyway, I digress. This is a very cool exhibit. And so now, what are the normal hours of this? When can people come in and really check it out?
So it runs Monday to Sunday.
Okay.
You can come in from 10 to 4.
Yeah.
Thursdays were 10 to 7.
Okay.
A bit later.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so you pay your admission to the museum.
Yep.
You come on in.
Come on in.
And you could literally sit in here all day and play pinball.
If you wanted to.
Until security escorts Brent out.
Well, tomorrow's Friday. I think that's what I'm probably going to do.
You know, all day long I thought today was Friday. Yeah, it's one of those. But that's
Friday
really cool.
Friday Junior? I keep hearing
Friday Junior.
I keep hearing that term. It just like popped up out.
I like that a lot.
It's Friday Eve.
Friday Eve.
So, Kathy, what's your favorite game out there?
I think I like the Alice Cooper's Nightmare Castle.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Alice Cooper's Nightmare Castle.
I like, there's a little like working guillotine.
Nice.
I
liked on the Aerosmith one, you kind of hit it into a certain spot and it launches your ball into a mad looking Jack in the Box.
It's called Jackie in the Box.
Jackie in the Box.
That one's really fun too.
Yeah, I liked that one a lot. I was pretty terrible at the Metallica one. Like, I would shoot the ball out, it would spin around and drop straight down through the paddles.
Yeah.
And every time I would do the frantic, and I think that's why I'm terrible at pinball. It like stresses me out. Like, the ball's coming down and I'm watching it aim perfectly for the middle and I'm madly hitting both paddles trying to get it to smack away and it just goes straight through. And
it happens.
Yeah, maybe a few things like dexterity. It could be something to work on a little bit. Hand-eye.
I've been a drummer for like 20 years, right?
This is why I'm struggling with how you're having some difficulty with this pinball. The thing that I loved was you sort of see the whole spectrum with the exhibit.
Yeah.
I started off with Guns N' Roses and Metallica, you know, a little more modern. They're talking to you and playing music and some of the interactivity. But then to go back to the original KISS machine that was, I think in the video Gene Simmons said it was 1976 or 78 when it was produced. And it's like old school original pinball
blocks. Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Yeah, those old school ones are pretty, they're really fun. I mean, they're so different from the newer ones that the playing field is, I don't know if you noticed, it's a lot flatter, so the gameplay is much slower. But
yeah, it is. And there was a Captain Fantastic there?
That
one was pretty old too, and it was a lot of fun. And it is funny, like those cabinets were really the precursors to the video arcades that came later.
The upright games, yeah.
The upright games. Yep. And, you know, once upon a time, it would just be the pinball arcade. And I think Asteroids was one of the first cabinets that made its way onto the scene, followed shortly thereafter by Pac-Man. Pac-Man, do you remember those tabletop ones of the Pac-Man that you would find in bars and things? And like, I have sought for one of those for years, and I just can't find them. But I want one badly.
I have a source for you.
Do you?
I do indeed.
Yep. You're a golden tea man when it comes to the upright cabinets,
eh? For sure, for sure. The retro gaming, and to take it from pinball, to see some of the early games like Centipede and Asteroids and Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and Frogger, to me, that's really... That's when video gaming was really what it is.
Yeah.
Some of the virtual reality stuff and the first person games now, I just don't get it. We got to go back to
the old school stuff.
Yeah.
I agree. And actually, I think it was a year or two or three ago, I hosted a 24-hour retro game-a-thon for kids, and it was. I want to say it was loads of fun, but I quickly learned I'm way too old to stay up for 24 hours. That was a thing.
Probably ate too much pizza.
Oh, there was so much pizza, and Tim Hortons had donated like this massive carafe of coffee that we were giving to children, which was, in retrospect, not the best idea. But this was it, we had those Raspberry Pi computers programmed up with hundreds of old retro games. Dating back, I think we started around 1970, and the newest game was about 2000. And the way that it was all set up was we had a stack of cards that all the games, and the kids would pull out a card, and that would be the game that we would play, and we would do a kind of a tournament with that game. But it was interesting watching these kids grab the old like NES controller with two buttons, and you know they're used to these massive contraptions with 47 buttons, and all this weird 3D interactive stuff going on, and instead you've got the 2D side-scroller.
Yeah.
And watching them try to wrap their heads around that, but the piece that I took away the most was games have become easier. Because now, you die in a game, and you just kind of hit the button and your dude is back, or you grab some health and you're back, and you know, whereas back in the day, so we played original Mario, mm-hmm. with these kids, and you know, you'd get almost to the end and some little Goomba would kill Mario, well, you're dead. You go back to the start of the level and they're all getting angry. And I'm watching these kids get angry going, well, why not start over? Because you died. Well, that's stupid.
It's really hard.
That's how it went.
It's such a hard game.
Yeah.
It was fun at the festival this year to watch kind of, again, that mix of music and arts and culture. We had the Nintendo activation at the festival in the park with the Switch units, and I'm convinced it was one of the most popular areas of the park. The kids were just flocking to it, and that sort of interactivity, and I think, you know, even as modern as the Switch unit is, you can still go back and play some old original games and download some old original games, and I'm really encouraging my kids to do that, kind of rediscover some of those things from my youth, and it's a lot of fun to watch this. Everything old is new again.
Yeah.
Wave happening, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think I remember Christmas of 1986 opening a Nintendo Entertainment System, and it was like the best thing that could have ever happened. And like my sister and I grew up on Mario and Mario Kart. Like Mario Kart has caused so many arguments in my household. My wife will kill me for telling this story, but one of the first times she met my father, we were playing Mario Kart, and that dreaded blue shell that shoots up and nukes whoever's in first.
Yeah.
So he took her out, and my wife is a very sweet, kind, soft-spoken individual. And in that moment that he took her out, all she did, she looked at him and, would you just off? And then that was one of the first times she ever met. Yeah, yeah. But that's it. Like Mario Kart and Mario Party and like all those games, they caused that anger and aggression, but in such a fun and competitive way. And, You know, that's what I love about it. And I have memories of arcades and these pinball arcades. And, you know, you're standing around and you've got 60 of your friends all leaning on the machine and everybody's into it and excited. And you lay your quarter on it to show you're going to play next. And it was like, that was good times. And it brought people together. People came together in these spaces to play these games, sharing that experience. And I love that that's what you've brought here, is it is an experience, and people can come and touch it. It's not a typical, you know, stay behind the velvet rope and
exactly
look at
what
the pretty
we want
thing.
To avoid. We want interactivity. We don't want people to feel intimidated. You know, just come in, have fun.
How long has it been here so far?
It opened October 6th.
Okay, so not too long.
Not too long.
A few weeks now.
Yeah.
A few weeks. And how's it been so far?
So far, so good. Yeah. We're getting, you know, it's still, you know, the building is just opened, right? We still need to, you know, to get the word out there that the museum's open now.
And where do we find the museum?
It is 1240 North Shore Boulevard.
North Shore Boulevard in downtown beautiful Burlington, Ontario.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say that that's one thing that I really love is the accessibility. You're right adjacent to Spencer Smith Park.
Yep.
The waterfront trail is right here. It's just a short walk from, you know, kind of the main downtown strip on Brant Street. So really, really easy to get to and come and experience as part of a day in downtown Burlington.
Yeah. So fun for all ages.
Fun for all ages.
All ages. Come on down. Play some arcades, or pinball, rather.
I'm coming back.
You're coming back. I don't even think you're leaving with me today.
Maybe I'll just stay.
This is it. I'll go finish out the day. I'll edit this podcast, and you can just stay and play pinball.
That's a fair deal.
It's a fair deal? That one? Good. Kathy, anything else you can think of that you want to tell us about the exhibit? Or, like, I love this marrying of music and video games. Like, this is my world's colliding, and I don't want to leave either. Is there anything else you want to share with us at all?
No, just, you know, please come visit the museum, check out the exhibition. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very cool. Brent and I can both attest it was a lot of fun. Thank you for letting us play in there.
You're welcome.
Come back. Yeah. I got to say, I love my job on days where I get to go and play pinball and get paid for it.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for having us here.
You're welcome.
I would encourage everybody out there as well who's listening, come on and not just come and see it, but come and experience it.
Now, before we completely wrap things up, we've got a couple of funny little news items that have popped up here that I know we wanted to chat about real quick. Brent, you mentioned, was it Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, that's the band. That's the one.
I like to consistently refer to Van Halen as Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, we'll go with Van Halen.
What happened, Brent?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of Van Halen news lately, and we've talked about it on the last couple of episodes. And Eddie Van Halen, there's a lot of rumors about his cancer treatments and state of his health and, you know, how he's doing. He's been a bit of a recluse.
Can we touch on that for just a second? Because this article that came out about Eddie Van Halen, he's directly quoted saying that, so he's battling throat cancer. And he has been quoted as saying he believes, and quote, the doctors believe that this throat cancer is caused from him holding a metal pick in his mouth for the better part of 20 years.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with the 50 years of smoking, apparently.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm a fan.
I thought it was interesting. And I mean, he does have that iconic metal pick. It gives him some very cool sounds. I've tried playing with a metal pick. I can't do it. It's very hard to use. But yeah, so he's claimed that this throat cancer has been caused by carrying this metal pick in his mouth, which every guitar player is guilty of carrying a guitar pick in their mouth at some point in time. I do it often. But, I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one. I mean, there's the truth lies in between with anything celeb status. So, you know, hey, we don't judge. We just listen to the music, right?
Well, I judge. Harshly, in fact.
That's fair.
So what was Eddie up to?
So he has emerged. He was apparently in a McLaren car dealership this past weekend, and took some pictures with some staff and some people that were in the car dealership because, you know, why not buy another McLaren if you can afford it?
Absolutely.
And then he went to the Tool concert at Staples Center in LA on Monday night. Tool, we know, just released a new album.
Great album.
Just out on tour now. And so he went with his son to the Tool concert, and TMZ and social media all over is posting like crazy. So there's a picture of Eddie Van Halen taking a picture of a Tool fan in front of the stage before the concert. And apparently, as the story goes, is some young guy, random Tool fan, went up to Eddie Van Halen and went, "Hey man, would you mind taking my picture? I'm really excited to be here at the Tool concert." All the while having no idea that he's literally asking one of the best guitar players who's ever lived to take his picture at the Tool concert.
No.
And so apparently Eddie smiled and obliged, and there's a picture of him happily taking a shot of this young guy.
That's
all the
awesome.
While this kid having no clue who he's actually asked to take his photo.
That's cool.
Pretty cool.
You got to ask too, like, where was this kid that he's just standing next to Eddie Van Halen in the crowd? Or rather, what seats did Eddie take? Like, is he...
He's just out there, looks like in the 100 level, and,
that's cool.
You know, kind of mixing and mingling, so pretty neat.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. Anything else in the news that we want to chat about today, or are we calling it?
I don't know, you know, no.
No, I think that does wrap us up.
It does.
This has been a song bite, live. We're not live.
Not live.
We're pre-recorded on location at the Joseph Brandt Museum. Who are we kidding? This has been edited heavily. We have been joined today by Kathy Carr, the Traveling Exhibitions Coordinator with the Joseph Brandt Museum. Thank you once again for having us in. Really appreciate it. So you can check out part of the machine, Rock and Pinball, here at the Joseph Brandt Museum, no quarters needed. Get on out here until January 12th. Plenty of time. Come on out, have some fun. That's it for us. We will see you on our next episode, which will be another full episode. Can we say who our guest is, or are we going to keep that a little secret?
No, let's drop it.
You're gonna name drop it?
Go ahead. So we've got Mark Fuakara, who's the owner of Dr. Disc Records in Hamilton, and this is one of the last remaining independent record stores. He's been around since 1991.
That's cool.
And this guy is from the College of Musical Knowledge. So
nice.
Think we'll have some cool, interesting conversation with him.
And we think that we might forego Teach Brent Guitar in order to teach Brent to scratch.
Yeah, a little record scratching and mixing. Mark's a DJ as well.
So tune in for that when DJ Brenty Brent makes his debut. Thank you all so much for listening. We will see you again in a couple of weeks. This has been a Songbite, and I am Miles, and I'm joined by...
Hey, it's Brent here. Peace out.
It's Brent here. Take care, everybody. Happy Halloween. It's always a pleasure.